A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Psachim Mem Gimel, Psachim 43a, pagination page 85. I'd like to do one line, however, from the Mishnah of yesterday's daf. So please join me on Psachim Mem Beis 42a, pagination 83, at the new Mishnah towards the bottom of the page. Our Mishnah told us, Ve'elu Ovrim BePesach, here is a list of things, that food items, that you would be in violation on Pesach. They're considered chametz. Now, if you skip to the third line of the Mishnah, at the end of the line, you'll see that there is a general rule. Kol shehu mimin dagon, anything that's made out of grain, hareza over BePesach, is going to be a Pesach violation. And therefore, our Gemara is going to ask why the list as found in the beginning of the Mishnah. Go back to the beginning of the Mishnah, and you'll see, Kutach HaBavli, there's a certain kind of Babylonian dip, V'Shecher HaMadi, and the beer from Media, V'Chometz HaAdomi, and the vinegar from Edom, which we discussed yesterday, and the list continues. And this Mishnah's presentation prompts the question in our Gemara, if you're already going to give me a general rule that anything that's made out of grain is considered a Pesach violation, so why the list? Why give me these illustrations? Now, going back to the beginning of the Mishnah, let's just do some quick translation over here. Kutach HaBavli, this dip from Babylonia. So Kutach comes up in a lot of places because its ingredients were extremely provocative, halachically. Number one, it was known as a milchic dip because it was based with sour milk. Number two, it was known as a chametz dip, because it was mixed with moldy bread, old bread. And number three, it had salt in it, which prompts the question and the discussion, what happens if you have a dip that's extremely spicy? Does that change the halachic status of it if it got mixed in with something? But in any case, the fact that it was a milchik dip and the fact that it was a chametz dip makes it a perfect illustration of mixtures, if you want to explain either milchik fleishik topics or chametz matzah topics. Shecher Hamadi was the beer from Media. Apparently there were ways to make such drinks that were not chametz based. And Chometz HaAdomi, which we discussed yesterday, the vinegar of Edom, which had in it barley, but regular vinegar is not necessarily going to be chametz. The fact that it has the word chametz in the word chometz is because there's a word derivative, not because it's an ingredient derivative. When you have something that goes sour, something that's left to ferment, so grapes are left to ferment, they would become wine. If it goes bad, then it's chometz. Dough, if it's processed, it could be matzah. Bread is not necessarily a bad thing, but it means that in the context of Pesach, it went bad, so to speak. It was not properly processed and controlled, and therefore it became the chometz, of what dough would become if it's uncontrolled. Let's move on to today's daf. So we're on Mem Gimel 43a, pagination 85, about 10 lines from the top. Towards the end of the line, you'll see a two dots, and then Zeha Klal, this is the rule, Kol Shehu Mimin Dagon, anything that's out of grain. And this is what I illustrated in the Mishnah. If you're anyway going to give me a list, so then why bother, I'm sorry, if you're anyway going to give me a klal, a general rule, then why are you giving me the list? Tanya, we learned. Amar Rabbi Yeshua said, V'chimi'acha sheshaninu, once you're going to tell me anyway, kol shehu min dagan, anything that's made out of grain, harei ze'ove b'pesach, you're going to be in Pesach violation, l'manu chachomim eseilu, why did you give me the list of actual items in the first part of the Mishnah? And he answers, Kidei sheyehei rogil bohen uvishmo sehem, because the author of the Mishnah wanted to educate you in the names of these items. You should be more aware of their ingredients. You should be, excuse the expression, but a worldly person. You should know what goes in to chometz that comes from Edom. You should know that. Ki ha de'ahu bar ma'arovo, because there was a certain person, Ikla leBavel. He was an Eretz Yisrael person, and he came to Bavel. Hava bisra bahadei, and he had meat with him. Amar lehu, and he said to them, Karivu lo mitachilta, pass me some of that spread. And he didn't realize what the spread was that he was about to use, that it was a milchik spread. Shama, he heard the Ka'amri, and that they repeated the request to the people down the table. Kerivu le kutach, pass him the kutach. Kevin de Shama kutach, he heard the word kutach, pirish, he pulled out, he realized that that's a milchik dip. He thought it was a dip, whatever it was. So he said pass the dip, but when he heard them repeat the request, he realized that it's a milchik dip, and because he was educated in the word kutach, he knew that kutach habavli, the kutach that they make in Babylonia, is milchik, and he was able to protect himself. This is a phenomenal concept worthy of some contemplation. How worldly are we obligated to be? Very often nowadays, we don't know the ingredients and products that we eat. We assume if it has the Hechsher, the certifying agency symbol on it, and it doesn't say that it's dairy, so who knows? But this Gemara might be encouraging us to be a little bit more knowledgeable in general. And there's a cute story I'd like to just add. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky once found his grandson struggling to put on a button. He couldn't seem to thread the needle. And Rabbi Yaakov good-naturedly rebuked him that a person has to know how to thread a needle. There's certain worldly things that a person is expected to be able to do. And even if it's not necessarily our profession, but in order to protect yourself, in order to, like our Gemara, if they tell you a certain spread, you should know what ingredients typically go into it. To that extent, a person should be knowledgeable. I'd like to squeeze in towards the bottom of the page one other item. Two lines from the bottom. Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael. They taught in the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Yishmael, Omar Kra, Isho Isha, a man or a woman, Ki Yasu Mikol Chatos HaAdam, when they will do any of the wrongdoings of mankind. So the question here, of course, is, normally, Torah is presented in one gender. It's just presented. And we understand that it applies to men and women. Part of the question is, how do we know that it always applies to men and women? And this pasuk is the starting point for that, in which the pasuk says, a man or a woman who does any wrongdoing. Hishva hakosov ish leisha, over here the Torah equated men and women, l'chol onshin shabbatorah, to all wrongdoings. And by definition, if it's a chatos, if it's a wrongdoing, then ish o isha are equated. Yeshu Koach, have a wonderful day.